This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network and can be found at deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi, S-C-I-F-I. If you go there, you can leave a comment on the website, as well as you can email me. I'm trying very hard to remember my email address. I don't think I have one specific for the show, but you know what? We're friends. So you can send it to Derek, that's D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com. Or you can call our woefully underused audio comment line at 734-331-0772. I appreciate any and all feedback that you send, no matter how you send it. Even if you want to join our Facebook page, I do not know the exact URL for it because we really don't have a whole lot of people on there, so I can't get like a name. But I think if you go to facebook.com/pages/sci-fi-noise, then it should take you there. If not, just contact me on Facebook, Derek Howard. That's, it should just be facebook.com/Derek Howard. And I will point you in the right direction. So there you go. Anyway, it's been a while, and I would definitely like to thank Mr. Rick Hansen for his, I'm going to be embarrassed now. For covering for me on the last episode, which was episode 27, the 2012 year in review. Yes, because I haven't done a show. When did he do it? I can't tell. I can't tell from here. Let me take a quick look. Yeah, he did it back in January. I haven't had a show since then. And he did the show because I haven't done one. You haven't heard my dulcet tones since last April 7th. Wow. If you're still subscribed, thank you very much. If you are a new listener, I would like to know why in the world you, you jumped on board. Hopefully we're going to, I'm going to start doing this on a much more regular basis. We're going to start having fun over here again. Because the first few episodes, if you are a new listener, go back and listen to some of the old ones. They were pretty fun. Even ones where I was angry. First few episodes, I was at a job that I absolutely hated for people. I absolutely could not stand doing work that I felt so completely overqualified for that it was an insult and an affront that I had to do it for too little money, too much time, and that anger and frustration comes through my voice loud and clear with almost every syllable. Now I have a job that I love, at a place that I adore, which is, not only the company that I work for, because I really like the company, but I get to work from home. So on times like this, also known as the lunch break, because when you work from home, you have to stick to a regular routine. And my part of my regular routine is a lunch period. And during that lunch period, I like to record podcasts. So if you are a new listener, you go to deliberatenoise.com, just the home, deliberatenoise.com. You'll find links to this page. But more importantly, you'll find links to all the other shows on the Deliberate Noise Network, a great many of which I do. I don't do all of them anymore. I don't even think I do the majority of them anymore, but I do a lot. All right. So that, with that little bit of a ramble out of the way, I'm going to tell you what I've been doing recently. Like within the last little while, as well as things I've done in the recently a little bit more while back, as well as things I have planned. Hopefully this will be the new format. I'll talk about something recent, something not so recent, and what I plan to do in the past, in the future. Yeah, I'm going to talk about what I'm going to do in the past. Jeez, who am I, Doctor Who or something? I am going to talk about Doctor Who, but not yet. First, I want to talk about Johnny Sacco and his flying robot. I mentioned this on the show before. I mentioned it on the site. I love this show. When I was a kid, not even really a small child, but when I would come home from school, there would be two shows. I can't remember what this exact type is called. But kaiju. Yeah, there's two types of kaiju. There would be Ultraman, which most people know about, and Johnny Sacco and his flying robot, which a lot of people have either no knowledge of or they have forgot, but when they do say, oh yeah, I like that show. And it's basically the story of this young kid who gets mixed up with this secret, I don't even think they're secret agents. They are sort of like science police almost. In fact, I think that they might be, no, Space Patrol is Ultraman. But he ends up getting mistakenly involved with them and ends up getting control over this giant robot, this massive flying metal behemoth with fiery breath, laser eyes, finger launch missiles, and above all, his physical strength. Okay. The bad guys created him, and somehow Johnny Sacco ended up with the watch that would control giant robot. He's the only one who can control him. So the bad guys, who are aliens and work for aliens, send these huge monsters, these huge Godzilla-type monsters down, and then giant robot has to fight them off and defeat them. And in the meantime, while that's going on, there's usually the unicorn, who are the good guy spies, going up against the gargoyle gang. who are slightly more competent than Cobra from G.I. Joe. You know, I mean, they still lose at the end of every episode, but they seem to be better aims. Right? If you remember Johnny Sacco, even vaguely, I recommend that you pick this up, because it's if you compare it to science fiction stuff of today, it doesn't hold up very well. But if you just sit back and just enjoy the show for what it is, it's still a lot of fun, you know? I mean, when you're a kid, who wouldn't want to have at his beck and call the biggest, baddest guy around, you know? And that's Giant Robot. And it's really cool. Like I said, I really like it. I got the complete series. It's a 4-disc collector's edition. This was actually a gift from a friend of mine, named Ed Moore and his wife Terry. They are also hosts on the Deliberate Noise Network. Let me see. They host, Dance Fever. They also host the Mighty Thorcast. He also hosts More MMA, the Emerald Archer, the Ronin Robot, and Lords of Order, which is a Dr. Fate podcast. Ronin Rabbit is Usagi Yojimbo. Mighty Thorcast is kind of obvious. And the Emerald Archer is Green Arrow. I think that's it. If there's one I forgot, I apologize. But anyway, back when money wasn't tight, but it wasn't right. And if you know where that comes from, congratulations. But, you know, I said that, you know, I wanted to get this and I'm going to get it. And, you know, as soon as I get the money, and he and his wife pre-ordered it for me. And I really appreciate that. And I recommend that you pick it up. It's really good. And it's like really a lot more violent than I remember, you know, because quite frankly, I don't remember Johnny Sacco carrying a gun. And I think he was only like maybe 7 or 8. The character was supposed to be 7 or 8 at the time. Maybe as old as 10, but I don't know if he was quite that old. I'm not 100% positive. I've been watching them. But I've been watching them and just enjoying them. I haven't been watching them with a critical eye to break down, you know, each detail. You know, I'll look and say, oh, wow, look at that, look at that, look at that. And I'm like, okay, well, here is where the giant robot, you know, does this move. And he's doing it against this monster. And this monster is supposed to, yeah, I don't really do like that kind of shit. And when I do, I just do it, you know. But this, I'm just watching basically as a fan and not as a semi-pro. I really, really do like it. I don't know if kids of today are going to like it. I tried to watch it with my son. And he took one look at it and he was like, oh, this is old, isn't it? And he's on this whole kick where he calls record players phonograms or phonographs or whatever. No, he calls them phonograms. No, phonographs, because he doesn't know what they really are. I'm just going to call it a Victrola. And he calls black and white TV, you know, black and white TVs, which I don't even think they make anymore. He called them gray TVs. He's like, did you used to have a gray TV? I was like, shut up. You know, he's 9 years old going on 10. He's a little smart ass. But he tried to watch it. And the first time he was just like, more of your old stuff. And so I said, just be quiet. I'm going to watch it without you. And as I'm watching it, he's on his computer and he's getting into it. I can tell he's getting into it because he just keeps over watching. He's like, and he's laughing. He's interacting. So if you have kids who are used to mostly CGI stuff, they may not dig it, you know. If they're really into those CGI fests. But if they really like good stories, especially, and I think that a lot of kids will like the story of a orphan who gets this incredible power, you know, that he controls the most powerful weapon in the world. And he uses it for the forces of good. I think kids will like it if they give it a chance, you know, if they simply go by how the monsters look and how the robots look, that's just a guy in a costume. Then they might not, you know, that may not be the exact target audience, but if they can just sit down and watch, I think younger kids, if you don't mind them seeing a young kid with a gun, I think they will appreciate it more than, let's just say, teenagers, preteens. I think this is something that teenagers will not want to be associated with, but people in their early 20s might give it a chance. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, so yeah, it's Johnny Sacco, This Flying Robot, the complete series, 4-disc collector set. There's also a 24-page booklet inside with a real in-depth essay by a guy named August Rigone. I started reading it and it was like, wow, this is deep. So I put it down, and then once I finished watching all of the episodes, I'm not even sure how many episodes. I think it's something like 26 episodes. Then I'm going to go back and read it. There's an approximate running time of 11 hours. And as much as I would like to actually sit down and be able to watch 11 hours of anything, I just can't. I have a lot of stuff I need to do throughout the day, including work. Anyway, next up on my list of things to talk about is Defiance. Yeah, Defiance is Sci-Fi's newest show. I know a lot of people have written off Sci-Fi when they changed the name from the Sci-Fi Channel to SYFI because, oh, what is that? Oh, this is stupid. And then once they canceled Eureka, a lot of people said they're never going to watch it again. And then when they canceled Alphas, was there something else that they canceled? Can't remember what it was, but every now and then somebody, they'll have a show and they'll cancel and people say they'll never watch it again, or they'll turn on Friday nights and see that it's professional wrestling. It's like, oh, I'm never going to watch this again. Completely ignoring the fact that wrestling does bring in eyeballs. And if you give people something that they really, really want to watch, they will watch it. Now, I don't understand why they don't show more ads for Lost Girl during wrestling. You know, they show a lot of Warehouse 13, and they have been showing some Defiance, but I don't know why they don't show more Lost Girl. Because if you show Bo in more sexually compromising positions, you're going to get somebody to check it out. But then again, it is opposite Raw. So, never mind. Forget what I said. So anyway, the show is set in the far future. I'm not exactly sure what happened. I know that there were aliens who visited. I don't know if they invaded Earth or what, but the aliens are here. They crushed what looks to be like most of the North American civilization, probably worldwide. I don't know. But there's a lot of like overgrown grass, and I've never been to St. Oh yeah, I take that back. I was in St. Louis once, but it was like to drive through it on a bus. I've seen that big arch, and I've seen all of the streets around it. But going beyond that, I don't remember much because it was also kind of dark. But I do know that it wasn't overgrown like jungles, you know. I mean, it's 30 something years later after the aliens landed, and it looks kind of messed up, you know. It's not like Walking Dead where somebody is avoiding zombies to make sure that the grass is all cut. Here, there's overgrowth everywhere. And it's basically about the city that used to be called St. Louis. It's now called Defiance. And right now, it's one of those big ensemble casts where there is this guy who was, it looks like he was salvaging stuff from, alien. How can I describe this? Cause I'm just going by what I saw, but it looks like there were alien ships above the Earth. There was some kind of big battle. I don't know if we won or lost. I'm not quite sure about that. But every now and then, some of those ships will fall out of orbit onto the ground. This guy's job, basically, is to get there first, salvage what he can, sell it to somebody else. That's how he makes his money. And in the very first episode, he finds this thing that's worth $3 million. And with that money that they get, him and his daughter, who is an alien, he apparently found her and took her in, takes care of her. They're trying to get enough money so they can retire to the sunny beaches of Antarctica. One of those type of futures. All right. There's that story. And then in the town, there's the mayor, who's played by Julie Benz. There are two kind of factions Now, of course, it's like a Romeo and Juliet type of thing. There's a Native American guy. I can't remember what he was in, but he was in a lot of stuff. If you saw him, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. Because there's only like, what, four Native Americans working in Hollywood? He's one of them, okay? He's like the oldest one right now. He's not old, but he's like in his 50s, 60s, something like that. He's not like 80. 75, 80, something like that. There's him. He runs a mine. And then there's this alien guy who also has his fingers in like organized crime. And they're like the two families that are feuding against each other. So, of course, the Native American's daughter is in love with the alien's son. So there's that kind of stuff going on. And there's like a whole bunch of other different characters that they're introducing. It's really, you could tell that whoever created it really put some thought into it. It reminds me in that instance a lot of like Eureka, only it's not as whimsical and fun as Eureka is so far. It's one of the things where the town itself that it's named after, you just like Eureka and Defiance, those are the actual names of the towns, has its own sort of personality. Okay. And just like with Eureka, you saw that the personality in the town is made up of its town's people. That's the kind of vibe I get from Defiance. Don't know exactly what it is yet. In fact, I have it written down here in my notes. I'm not sure if I have a favorite character yet, but I do like the setting, so that's a start, you know. And that's, you know, I think I probably mentioned this, but I like stories where society is crumbling fast. You know, there are people who think our society is crumbling as we speak. And those people are usually trying to sell you something, trying to sell you religion or sell you guns or sell you drugs, right? But, I mean, like, the first part of The Stand where the virus gets out and you see people dying and you see society coming to its knees, you know, or Shaun of the Dead, where you first have the zombie breakout and things are just crumbling as you see. I like those stories, and I like the stories where they're immediately after trying to rebuild society. I like those types of stories, you know, the crumble and the rebuild. This is neither one of them. This is years later. This is after a new society has been basically put in place. All right. So this is not really the type of story that I usually gravitate towards, but I like this one. Another comparison you can make is for the TV show Jeremiah. That was Luke Perry, I believe. Luke Perry and Malcolm Jamal Warner and Luke Perry. If you ever consider that those two kids from 90s TV shows, 80s TV shows, 80s, 90s, I don't even remember now, would be in one of the better sci-fi shows once they got older. That's just something I talked myself into a corner there. That's something I would not have thought would have been possible. But Jeremiah was a really good show. And this has that same sort of setting. Although with Jeremiah, one day all of the adults just died and the kids had to put everything back together. So they put it together kind of the way children would. This one, they're all still, you know, there are young people and there are old people. So it wasn't like an age thing. You know, it's just, I don't know, some kind of destruction thing, right? I really like the premiere and it set up a pretty interesting world. I just hope that they don't get stuck in the same kind of rut that a lot of shows with one particular setting and one particular group of people do, where every few episodes they have to rescue the town from an outside threat, you know. Yeah, there's going to be some sort of threats, but let's just see what's going on. Now, if it's just going to be like the town versus outside threats, then we're just going to see how it goes. But, you know, they have a good setting. It looks like they have a good cast. By the way, the doctor, if you've seen the show, maybe not my favorite character yet, but could be working on being my favorite character. So yeah, I'm kind of curious to see what types of story. They've got a good setting. Now let's see if they can have a good variety of stories. Okay. What was that one show? There was a show from BBC, where basically they had to go from planet Earth to another planet. They were on another planet. It kind of reminded me of Earth 2, but not exactly quite. Damn it. I'm going to have to remember this and bring it up on another episode. But they basically had their own new society on this other planet. And after a while, some of the stories just started to feel repetitive, you know. In fact, yeah, anyway, we'll see. Now, Defiance also is a video game, set in the exact same world. I don't know if it's set in the exact same, might even be set in the exact same area. I don't know if any of the characters from the TV show are playable characters. I doubt it. I hope not. But apparently, major events that happen on the TV show will affect the video game play. Now, it is a multiplayer first-person shooter. I am not a fan of multiplayer first-person shooters. So I'm not interested in the game. So I do know a bit about it simply because I looked it up, because I liked the show, and I'm like, hey, maybe I'll like the game. And I wanted to like the game. I wanted to go into it liking the game, but I didn't like Halo. You know, I have like the first Halo, and that was just it for me, because I just, once I got off the ship and got on the planet, I was like, I don't care. You know, there's not much of a story here. I really don't care. And a lot of sci-fi first-person shooter, multiplayer first-person shooters especially, they don't really stress a lot about giving you a story. You know, it's basically give you weapons, set you out against your friends and strangers, and you team up with some guys to go raid others, and you don't for the others, and you get killed, and it's just a bunch of nothing to me, you know? I didn't like Halo, and a lot of the Halo wannabes, like old Dead Space. Yeah, the Dead Space ones, they just didn't grab me. Mass Effect probably would have grabbed me, but at the same time, I don't know. I like the role-playing aspects of games like Mass Effect, because I like RPGs. But I don't think that I want to just play with a bunch of people where the only goal is to go around shooting each other. To me, that's just not fun. Now, when the kids were younger, my younger brother and my daughter Jasmine, we would on the weekends, you know, when they were small children, not small, they were like, what, 7, 8? Maybe I was as old as 9, something like that. I would pick them up, and they would come to work with me on Saturdays. I would work on Saturday until 12 o'clock, and then from like 12 to 2 or 3, we would have a LAN party, you know, because I was I was a network admin, so I'd every week I would install Duke Nukem 3D on three computers. They were all networked together, and the three of us would go around and, you know, shoot each other. We'd have fun at it, or it was usually the two of them against me. And they, together, they would kick my butt a number of times. I'd end up winning, of course, because I'm a grown up. But, you know, that was fun. Then, of course, they took for, you know, and we were going to do that with, Duke Nukem Forever when it came out, but it took so long that, you know, not only did they outgrow, first person shooter LAN parties, so did I. You know, so when it came out, I was like, it's finally, I think I'll tell them about it. And I told them, and they were just like, wow, that was a long time ago. I completely forgot about that game, you know? I mean, that's just how long ago it was. And that was the last time I really enjoyed first-person shooters. Now, maybe, like I said, if it was a LAN party and I knew everybody in the room, and we were talking junk and all that kind of stuff, that could be fun. But I don't know. Yeah. Defiance, the video game, just doesn't enthuse me at all. If you've actually played it, let me know. Let me know what you think. Send me a review if you don't mind. The TV show, like I said, I like. The video game, not interested in at all. Now, I've also been reading some sci-fi. If you have been subscribe to Brook Review Noise, then you know that I've been reading the books of Scott Sigler, mostly his GFL books. There's this Galaxy Football League. This is a science fiction slash sports story. Now, you know, we will get science fiction, you know, just straight science fiction, all the different flavors of it. You know, science fiction drama, science fiction action adventure, science fiction comedy, but you don't really see a whole lot of science fiction sports outside of like Rollerball, you know, the remake of Rollerball. And I guess you could consider the Death Race ones and parts of Tron to be sports, but you know, it's really not a whole lot of them out there. And this isn't even a movie or a TV show. This is a book, you know, and sports books are difficult. You know, sports reading about sports to me is difficult as it is, unless you're like really familiar with the game. And so to take it, put it in a future with a sci-fi twist, and not only a sci-fi twist, but add elements of crime and romance and comedy and all kinds of stuff the way that Scott Sigler does is amazing. I just finished the MVP, which is like pretty sure the last book that he put out, with this, with Quentin Barnes. He was not subtle, because if you don't know what position Quentin Barnes plays and you aren't paying attention, right? He wasn't subtle about that. And I always thought that was funny. But it's a really good series so far. I think he's on, there was the rookie, there was a starter, there was MVP. I don't know where he's, no, there was the all pro and then there was MVP. So this is book number 4. And in addition to that, there are also like, side books that he writes in the same area, you know, in the same setting, the same universe. They're going like they're stories that go parallel with the main story that he writes with other authors. There was one called The Reporter. That's the one I also finished recently with, Merle Lafferty, who was one of the very first, podcasters, by the way. And she was actually the first, podcaster that regularly featured, comic book content on her podcast. So. There you go. I have a soft spot for her because of that. It was the story of a kind of like a, not a minor character, but like a not major character. You know what I mean? There are only like maybe 5 or 6 major characters in the story. And she, Yolanda Davenport, is not one of those major characters, but she's not a minor character because she actually, when you say Yolanda Davenport, when he mentions it, you know who she is, who's he talking about. But other ones, you might have to think twice, like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. I know who that is. And there's a story that's going on, like I said, parallel with events in, I believe, the All-Pro. Really well-told stories, and Scott Sigler has a bunch of books coming out. Check out his podcast if you get a chance, and definitely buy his books. They are very, very much well worth reading. They move very quickly in spots, and in other parts where he will slow down the story, or he'll give some background to his universe, and it's just really well done, you know? Major publishers, book publishers, media companies in general really missed the boat with this guy because he has his own thing that they could be making millions upon millions of dollars on. And I'm not sure if he's making millions and millions of dollars, but he could. If he had had the right people behind him, pushing him and exposing his works to the general public, I think he'd be a household name. His stuff is really that good. You know, he would, you know, you say, King, Koontz, Sigler, and people know exactly who you are. And now they're like, who? Sigler? Who's that? Tell me more about this guy. And I'm telling you more about him. Check him out. Doctor Who also recently restarted. He has a new companion. Her name is Clara Oswin, and she hasn't really done much. You know, she's been in a couple of episodes. The actress is Jenna Coleman. She has been in like two other episodes before this one, and there's like this mystery behind her entire existence. And for some reason, people are just... I was thinking about this yesterday. They're really digging her, even though there's really not a whole lot of difference between her character and Amy Pond, one of the last companions. The biggest difference to me so far, two episodes in to her as opposed to two episodes in with Amy, is hair color. People really don't like redheads, and I don't get it. You know, because I'm thinking that's got to be the only reason why. There was this one website, I can't even remember who it was now, who gave like 10 reasons why the second episode that featured Clara Oswin, I don't even remember the name of it, was the best episode since The 11th Hour, which was the first episode that Amy Pond came into. And it gave 10 reasons, and as I'm reading it, it just seemed to me that every reason had something to do with the fact that Amy and Rory were not there. You know, so it was less of a pro-Clara article than an anti Amy and Rory article. And there's a lot of people who just do not like them, and I don't understand why, because they were there for years. They had a complete story arc. They were different from all of the other companions that I can think of, because they were an actual married couple. And I don't know, maybe maybe since Christopher Eccleston and Rose Tyler had their first flirtations in the beginning, people are just spoiled on having some sort of a romantic possibility between the doctor and his companions. When, you know, before that, that never really was an issue. I'm just putting that out there. There's absolutely no way you can tell me, for example, that Sarah Jane or Leela or Romana or any of them, you know, Ace, if none of them were in love with their doctor, you know, but all of a sudden you get Rose and you get Martha Jones and those two are in love, although Martha really came out of nowhere. She just met the man and fell in love with him. I didn't get that at all. And it's just like, why can't they just be friends? But anyway, so right now you have Clara and everybody's in love with Clara and trying to figure out her her secret. And there are people who want to see some sort of a romance between the two. And I think they forgot that, you know, technically the doctor is still married to River Song, isn't he? Anyway, so far the character is likable. There's a definite chemistry between the two of them, but I thought there was chemistry between him and the Ponds before, you know. Matt Smith is a really good actor. And I have a question about Matt Smith, though. It seems like he's satisfied with being Doctor Who for a while, but what happens when he leaves? Are they going to go for somebody younger? Because so far, I'm pretty sure that has been the pattern. Every doctor has been replaced with somebody younger. So pretty soon we're going to have a teenage doctor. And I'm not saying that Matt Smith is that young, but if they keep going down this road, he's either going to have to be a teenager or they're going to have to do one of two things that is really going to piss everybody off. And that means either the doctor is going to be a woman or he is going to be a black man. And if that ever happens, then you're going to see a bunch of butthurt people running around not wanting to be Whovians anymore. But anyway, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Now, on my to-do list, and I'm not saying this is what's going to be between now and the next episode, but this is what I have planned for the near future. And if you have any comments, go ahead and send them in. But from Netflix, I have Prometheus. I've actually had it for quite a while now. Not quite a while, but a couple of weeks. I haven't watched it yet. But then again, I also have Redbeard, the Criterion Collection version. And I haven't finished that. But that one is like, 3 hours long? And 3.5 hours long, I think. And I've been slowly watching that, and Prometheus is like over 3 hours, is almost 3 hours, I should say. So, if you have any comments on that, go ahead and let me know. And just, you know, give me some real comments. I'm not going to listen to them until I actually watch the movie. So if you're going to send something, just send the comments on Prometheus so I'll know not to read it. Don't put like, hey, Derek, read this, because don't make me mad like that. If you have something critical to say, make it a real critique and not just say that movie was boring and it sucked. I don't care if you were bored. If you don't tell me why you thought it was boring. If you think a movie sucks, tell me why you think it sucks. Give me why. Because hopefully that's what I do. I try to give people why. Anyway, as well as that, I have on my comic book pile, I have a trade of Fear Agent, Volume 1, I believe this is. Yeah, Volume 1 from Dark Horse Comics. Rick Remender and Tony Moore. It is behind, it's like third on the list. There's a couple other things I'm going to read before that. So there you go. In the future, near future, that is what you have to look forward to. Prometheus and Fear Agent. Let me know what you've been reading, what you've been watching. Are there any science? Oh, yeah, there's like science fiction, I guess, audiobooks and audio plays and stuff like that. I already got too much stuff on my plate. I'm not going to get into a whole new medium. Oh, although there was the Red Panda. Maybe I'll talk about that on the next episode, but I've been listening to Red Panda stuff. Anyway, thank you for listening, and I'll be back soon with another episode. We'll be right back.
couple of wrinkles deep.